Service is the ultimate reason why Jesus came. Yes, he came to die on the cross. Yes, he came to offer us salvation through his death and his resurrection. But he also came to serve, as he is going to point out here in these verses. Servanthood gets right to the heart of the gospel. It's the pattern for all of us who follow Christ and who would follow Christ. We are sent to serve. We are saved to serve others, even to the point of laying down our life if God ordains it. But just as God ordained it for his Son, we should do no less than to serve Christ and be a servant to all. We live in a world today where everybody tries to get everything they can get. We live in a world today where it's dog eat dog. We live in a world today where people are trampled underfoot by those others who are trying to get what they want out of life. We have a world filled with greed. We have a world filled with selfishness. We have a world that's filled with all sorts of sinfulness and bad hearts. But I want to talk to you tonight about serving, about servanthood. What is it all about? Why are we here? We talk about serving God all the time. We preach it here at New Life Fellowship Church. But what does it mean to be a servant of God? I almost started to entitle this sermon, "Are You For Real?" But I decided to give it another name, The Cost of Servanthood. But let's look at these verses here in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse number 32. "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. As they followed him, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, 'Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priest and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again.' And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, 'Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we shall desire.' And he said to them, 'What would you that I should do for you?' And they said to us, 'Grant to us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in your glory.' But Jesus said to them, 'You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said unto him, 'We can.' And Jesus said to them, 'You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall you be baptized, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given for them whom it is prepared.' And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much and displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said to them, 'You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chief, this shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." We look at these scripture verses, and Jesus is traveling back to Jerusalem from up around the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. He's got traveling with him back up to Jerusalem. And Jesus previously told him that they were going back to Jerusalem so he could be crucified, so he could die. And his disciples were worried at this point because they were traveling back to Jerusalem. And that's what they said here in verse 32. And Jesus went before them and they were amazed. And as they followed him, they were afraid. Jesus was marching before them, going up to Jerusalem. Disciples were following, and I could hear those guys mumbling in the background. Is he crazy? We're going to go get killed. You know, he said, we're going to go up there. He said, they're going to attack us. They're going to put us in prison. They're going to kill us. What are we going to do? And I could hear him coming up with all kinds of schemes and plans and everything else. But the first thing I want you to notice in this passage is that you must consider the cost of being a servant. You look at verses 32 through 34 here. Sometimes the road of service invites misunderstanding. When God calls us to do something, sometimes the world doesn't understand it. When God calls us to sometimes do something, fellow Christians may not understand why we are doing what we are doing. Sometimes it invites misunderstanding. The disciples didn't understand why Jesus had to go back to Jerusalem when they had pretty much a contract out on his life. The chief priest and the scribes wanted to kill Jesus. Why are you going back to Jerusalem? Some people questioned me, said, why did you come over here? You had a senior pastor role. Why did you come over here to be an associate pastor? Why? Because God wanted me to. So that doesn't make any sense. Well, to God it does. It makes perfect sense. To me it makes perfect sense because that's what God wanted me to do. Some of Beth's sisters are questioning whether we should go to Cuba or not. So why do you want to go to Cuba? That's crazy. Because God wants us to go. That's why. We're not there yet, but we're trusting God is going to send us to Cuba. And while we're there in Cuba, we're going to be okay. See, sometimes it doesn't make sense. In the world's eyes, it doesn't make sense. In other Christians' eyes, sometimes the road of service invites misunderstanding. But the road of service involves a mission. Jesus had a mission here. He knew what he had to do. He knew he was facing the cross. And he knew that's what his heavenly Father had planned for him. And he knew that was the only way to bring salvation to you and me and to the rest of the world was to take that road and go up to Jerusalem to be handed over to the chief priest and the scribes and ultimately to the Romans to be crucified. He had a mission. And I want to tell you something today. We got a mission. We have a mission. We have a mission to reach Huntington, Indiana. We have a mission to reach the outlying areas of Huntington, Indiana. We have a mission to reach Columbia City and the outlying areas of Columbia City and wherever else God wants us to reach out to. We have a mission to reach lost people for Christ. The question is, are we determined as Jesus to carry out that mission? And the sad part of it is, and I'm not just talking about us, but the church in general has lost sight of that mission. We live in a faithless world today. We live in a faithless church today. Because we're not willing to count the cost of what it means to be a servant. Jesus was going to go die on the cross. But yet he kept going forward. He was walking ahead of his disciples. He was showing the way. And let me tell you something. Christ is walking ahead of us, showing us the way. All we got to do is follow. and be a humble servant of His. That's all we got to do. But we live in a faithless church today, a church that's not afraid of stepping out in faith and doing what God wants us to do. We have churches full of faithless Christians that don't have the faith enough to step out and do what God wants them to do. It takes faith. Yes, being a servant of, you know, a lot of times, you know, we come to Christ and we accept Christ as our Savior. And that's great. That's wonderful. But for some reason, it stops at that point. Some pastors call it fire insurance. It's good enough to get us out of hell, but that's about as far as it goes. But you see, salvation involves making Jesus Christ Lord of your life, over everything in your life. And we forget that part. We tell God, thank you for saving me. But when God or Jesus wants to take control of our lives, we say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm glad that you saved me, Jesus, but I'm not going there. I'm not giving that amount of money to the church. I'm not going to teach that Sunday school class. I'm not going to go overseas. I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. You got me in church. That's fine. That's good. But let me tell you something. Being a true servant of Jesus Christ, being a real servant of Jesus Christ, involves not only giving your heart to Christ, but it's giving everything to Christ, making Him Lord of your life, making Him in full control of your life. Jesus led the way, and He's still leading the way today. And yes, being a servant could cost you. It cost Jesus His life. It may cost you your job. Being a servant of Jesus Christ may cost you your friends. Being a servant of Jesus Christ could cost you money. Being a servant of Jesus Christ could cost you the comfort of your home. Being a servant of Jesus Christ could cost you having a Walmart around the corner of your house. Being a servant of Jesus Christ could even cost you your life.
That's right.
If God ordains it. But here's something else. It may cost you things of this world, but the reward in the end is worth far more than anything this world could offer. Jesus died on the cross, but on the third day He rose again. And He's alive today forevermore, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day He's coming back. And one day we're going to go be with Him. And that's where our reward is going to be at, to have an eternity with Him. And to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into My presence. See, a lot of times we want to stay too attached to the world instead of serving Jesus with everything we have. Jesus gives a parable about that. In fact, He gives a couple of parables. One of them, He says, you build your house on a foundation. Jesus Christ is that foundation. But He says, you build your house either out of wood, hay, and stubble, or you build your house out of precious stones and precious jewels. And then the fires of judgment come. And He says, you're either standing there left there with a pile of ashes, or you're standing there with jewels and precious stones and gold and silver, because you did what God wanted you to do. Question is, when you stand before God on that day, and He asks you, what did you do for me? How good of a servant were you for me? Are you going to be standing there with a bunch of ashes in your hand?
Or are you going to be standing there with gold, silver, precious jewels because you built your life being a servant of Jesus Christ and trusting Him? In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and following, Jesus gives a couple of interesting stories there about following Christ. He talks about a guy building a tower. He says, you know, what guy doesn't sit down first before he starts building and figures out how much it's going to cost him to build that tower? How much is it going to cost him in materials to build that tower in case he gets halfway done and runs out of money and he runs out of materials? He says he'll look foolish. He says, what king doesn't go off to war and not count the cost to figure out whether he can win the battle or lose the battle? You know, and pursue for peace. If the odds aren't in his favor, maybe he should pursue in peace. But Jesus summed it all up. And this is the thought that he brings across in that whole passage there. He's talking about following him. And he says, when you come to Christ and you trust Christ as your Savior, you better count the cost. A lot of people don't do that. What is this going to cost me? You know, there are a lot of people in other countries. We're so blessed here in America. We're going to honor Memorial Day and our veterans next Sunday, our ones who died trying to protect our freedom. But there's so many people in other countries that literally put their lives on the line, that face death each and every day, coming to worship just like we're doing here. Every day that they meet, they could be executed. But they still meet. They count the cost, yeah. But they still do it. Do we? Secondly, you must consider the challenge to being a servant. Yes, it's a challenge to be a servant of Christ. You know, it goes against our human inclinations. Like I said, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to the world around us. Sometimes it doesn't make sense even to other Christians. But sometimes it goes against our human inclinations. Sometimes God calls us to do stuff, and we don't know what. God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But that's where stepping out on faith comes in and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to trust you. Some of you heard me tell my story. You know, I used to work in an ice cream factory right downtown here. I was a bivocational pastor, and I was pastoring another church at the time, and through that church and working at the ice cream factory, I was making pretty good money. And to be perfectly honest with you, I was making about $55,000 a year. In 2013, they closed down the ice cream factory because I felt God was calling me to go full-time into ministry, because, being bivocational, it's hard. People used to ask me, say, how in the world do you do it? And I said, well, if you ever figure it out, please let me know. But I was making good money. Then all of a sudden, they shut down the ice cream factory. And my income went from $55,000 a year down to about $22,000 a year. And in the meantime, when we was trying to figure out whether to come over here or not, Beth had to have a couple of surgeries, and we had some big, enormous medical bills. And in fact, it got to the point where we started getting letters from collection agencies. And we did not know how in the world we were going to survive, to tell you the truth.
And God pressed upon our hearts to come here. And my income was going to get cut in half again. It's kind of like that Gideon thing, you know, where Gideon went and he had 10,000 men to start with, and God kept whittling him down to where he just had 300. And Gideon had to just trust God that he can whip a whole entire army with just 300 men. And Beth and I just had to simply trust God. And we didn't know what we was going to do. Like I said, within the first few months that we were here, God supplied. And we were able to pay off everything and be debt free. I think if we would have said no to God and we would have stayed where we were, we probably still would have been up to our eyeballs in debt. But because we trusted God and stepped out, God blessed. It didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. Why in the world you do that? But it made perfect sense to God. It made perfect sense to us because we were following God. Sometimes being a servant is ordained by divine revelation. You know, being a servant doesn't come easily, especially for those who have been trained to lead, especially those who dream of being served. Think about it. You know, James and John here, they got one thing right, but they got everything else wrong here in their statement. Said James and John, you know, came to him and they said, "Master, we want to ask you something, that you do something for us. You do us a favor. We know you're going to come into your kingdom. We know you're going to come into your glory. But here's what I want you to do for us. We want to sit at your right and left hand side." In other words, they wanted to be up there with Jesus. You know, got their white robes and their chest poking out. "Yeah, we up here with Jesus. Look at us." Sometimes people are like that with servanthood. They serve because it'll make them look good. The only reason why they serve is because of pride. That's the wrong reason. You're not going to get anywheres. In fact, God will knock you lower than a snake's belly in a tar rut. Servanthood isn't about pride. Servanthood isn't about looking good. Servanthood is about serving. That's what it's about. You look at Jesus, in Jesus, you know, he humbled himself. He took off the robes of royalty. He laid aside his crown up in heaven, put on the rags of humanity, and came to this earth and humbled himself even to the death of the cross. He lowered himself so much so he could lift others up. And that's what we ought to be about too, is lifting others up. We ought to lower ourselves so low that we get underneath those that are struggling, trying to reach up for Jesus but just can't get there. We ought to lower ourselves so low that we get underneath them and we can raise them up so they can grab a hold to Jesus, so Jesus can set them free from whatever they're into. That's what we need to be about. It's humbling ourselves to be that type of servant that honors God. You know, Jesus humbled himself. We should do no less than that. Thirdly, you must consider the conflict of being a servant. Verses 41 through 44. Jesus says this, starting in verse 42, it says, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. You must say no to the world. If you want to be a servant of Christ, you must say no to the world. It's not how the world does it, but how does God want you to do it? How does God want you to serve? We got churches so full of the world today, it's pitiful. We got Christians looking like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, dressing like the world, watching things that the world watches, listening to things that the world watches. We wonder why nobody's getting saved. We wonder why our churches are slowly emptying out. Why our churches aren't being filled anymore. It's maybe because we aren't being the kind of servants we need to be in saying no to the world. God called us to be salt and light. We can't be light. We're acting like the darkness. And we're called to be salt. You know, the only way that salt can ever lose its saltiness, salt will stay salty forever. The only way salt can lose its saltiness is if it gets contaminated with something. And God called us to be salt of the earth. And the only way we can lose our saltiness is if we get contaminated with sin and get contaminated with the world. We must say no to the world, and we must say yes to the work of a slave. You know, Jesus steps into the midst of this strife among the 12. You know, they get in there and they start arguing with one another about what James and John said. They get upset, which proves they're a bunch of Baptists. They always get upset, get arguing with everybody and everything else. But he says this on being great in God's kingdom. He says this, that whosoever of you will be the chiefest will be the servant of all. And Jesus demonstrated that with the best illustration ever. When they were in that upper room, just eating the Lord's Supper, and they're getting ready to go out into the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus gets up, and he's the host of that meal. And he gets up, takes his outer garment off, wraps a towel around him, and gets a basin of water. And he starts washing their feet. That's something only a slave was allowed to do. A host of a meal would not even think of doing that. But Jesus humbled himself and washed their feet, demonstrating to them that the greatest among them lowered himself to be a servant to them all. And we should be doing the same thing to each other. Don't think that you're better than somebody else, but humble yourself as a servant. And being a servant of Christ doesn't involve a whole lot. You know, sometimes we think serving Christ means standing behind a pulpit. It means leading and singing. It means teaching a Sunday school class. It means going overseas on a mission trip or whatever. That's part of it. But being a servant of Christ could be something as simple as sending a card, putting an arm around somebody when they're hurting, praying for somebody, just smiling and being there for somebody. I remember one time at my former church, they had a young girl started coming to church with her grandparents. She was kind of a troubled teen.
but she came from a bad family background. Her mom committed suicide on Mother's Day when she was young. And I remember one Mother's Day, we having a Mother's Day service, and we were coming out of Sunday school, and I could see her off on the right on the corner. And she was having a rough go of it because I knew what happened on Mother's Day in her life. And I went over to her and she looked up at me and she just had tears coming down her cheek. I didn't say a word to her. I just put my arms around her and held her. And she just sat there and cried on my shoulder. And afterwards, she said, thank you. And about that time, somebody come looking for me and said, you know, we running late. Said, church just started 10 minutes ago. Said, you need to get out there. I said, What I'm doing is more important than starting a church service on time. We're Baptist anyway. We never get started on time. But that's about being a servant. It could be just simple little things. You know, it doesn't take much. You say, well I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you can ask him. He'll tell you. But then the question is, when he tells you, do you have faith enough to step out and do what he wants you to do? Lastly, you must consider Christ when being a servant. You need to follow Christ in service. Ask God what you want, what he wants you to do. It starts with that. Be like Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, use me, send me. And when he tells you, simply say, yes, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know the ways and means I'm going to do it. But you said, do it, so I'll do it. You know, God's not worried about your ability. And God's not worried about finances. And God's not worried about resources. All God wants is availability. You make yourself available, God's going to take care of the rest. That's all it is. It's humbling yourself to be a servant. But not only do you follow Christ in service, but you must be willing to follow Christ in sacrifice. In verse 45, Jesus tells us why he came to die, making a promise no other religious leader in the world has made or ever will or can make. And in making it, he declares for all to hear that he came to serve you and me and those others in the world. But not just our example, but as our ransom. And we can do no less as servants of Jesus Christ. The greatest person who ever walked on this earth was a humble servant. And like I said, he got down so low that he might lift others up. And he considered others more important than himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 talks about that. In fact, he considered others more important than himself, more so that he went all the way to the death of the cross. And now he calls us to believe and do the same as servants of him. Question is, are you going to step out on faith and serve Jesus? Maybe you're here tonight, maybe you're saved, but you never ever thought about making Jesus Lord of your life. Say, yeah, I'm saved. But I've been struggling because I know God wants me to do something. I don't want to do it. I'm afraid. Let me tell you something. It's okay to be afraid. God still scares me half to death sometimes. That's okay. I love an adventure. You know,
My best sister is so worried about us going to Cuba. I was talking to Matthew one time, and Matthew was telling, Beth, said, man, Beth was sharing that with Matthew, and Matthew said, you know, I said, you know, he said, man, we got this great insurance. You know, if there's a riot that develops there in Cuba or whatever, an uprising, said, you know, they'll fly helicopters in, you know, and they'll take us out and fly us out and stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, I looked at it and said, where's your sense of adventure at? It's, you know, it is okay to be afraid. But you know what? When you got Jesus on your side, you don't have to stay afraid. Because he'll carry you through. And you'll go on the biggest adventure of your life that you've ever been on when you become a servant of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it may cost you. It may cost you dearly, but like I said, the reward on the other side is worth it all. It's worth it all. Do you know Christ tonight? If not, I'd like you to invite him. Are you not serving Christ like you should? Maybe it's time for you to come surrender yourself to him and start serving and doing what God has called you to do. Like I said, it doesn't have to be something big or great or flamboyant. It could be just something simple that the Holy Spirit's been bugging you about. You know, people used to come to me. They don't do it so often anymore because they know what my answer is. They tell me, come up to me and say, Pastor Randy, we should have this ministry. We should start doing this. We should do this. And my answer is, I always look at them and said, oh, yeah, that's good. When you want to start? Yep. And they always look at me, not me. I'm just here to tell you about it. And I said, yeah, maybe. You know what I found out? That sometimes when you see a need, you're the person that God wants to meet that need. That's why he showed it to you. Or start that ministry up and do that ministry. Sometimes we just need to step out on faith and just trust God. Is God dealing with you about that today? Maybe there's something that God has showed you and there's a need there and you've been worried about it. Maybe it's time you can come surrender yourself to take care of that need or to start that ministry. You know, all God is asking is to make yourself available. He'll take care of the rest. No problem. No problem at all when you give your heart and your life, everything over to Christ and be a humble servant of his. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight and we think about being your servants, your true servants, that'll follow you wherever you lead, wherever you go. May we be a people of faith that'll step out and follow you wholeheartedly. May we be a people that says no to the world and say yes to you and your way.